Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm. Have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. And you can get our podcasts wherever you like to get your podcasts. Many people can see that there are severe problems in this world, and there are just countless numbers that need help. They're in desperate need of help. You see the stories on the news of different disasters that can happen or problems that happen, and it's around the world. Some places are quite bad. And looking at that, you think, well, okay, well, what does God expect us to do? How can we help? People need help. How do we help them? How does a truly converted Christian express service to God? What can we do to help? What does God expect of us? Well, let's look at a few passages today and try to get the full picture of this, at least as much as we can in the limited time that we have. But let's see what Christ said in Matthew 25. We have a few passages we'll look at. If you have a Bible handy, you could get it out. We could look at these scriptures together and see what God instructs us to do. Matthew 25, and we'll start here in verse 34. Says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." In verse 37, "Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Well, Lord, when saw we you an hungered and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When saw we you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when saw we you sick or in prison and came unto you?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me." And so we can see here clearly that we serve God when we help and serve our fellow man. God has a plan for mankind, and we need to serve him in working with that plan and helping him as he shows us how do we do our part within that plan. Serving and helping fellow man. Notice this. This is from Lesson 12 of the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, free course at thetrumpet.com. And if you're not signed up for that, please sign up for it, and it's free, and it'll be sent to you. It says, "This troubled world is filled with needy, sick, and lonely people. Hundreds of millions in this world would benefit from even basic instruction and how to improve the quality of their physical lives, including their basic nutrition and everyday hygiene. But above all, they need to know the truth of God, His purpose, and plan for mankind." Above all, that's what people need to know. They need to know the truth of God, His purpose, and plan for mankind. Let's notice Matthew 20. We'll see another principle here of service. Matthew 20 and verses 25 through 28, Jesus Christ again here instructing. It says, "But Jesus called them unto him and said, You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus Christ came to serve, to give his life a ransom for many. He had a particular job that his Father had for him to do, and he always did his Father's will. Now, we don't have the exact same job, but we are to follow his example and serve and help. Christ came to serve, not to be served. And we look at his example, and then we're taught to follow his example of service. And notice 1 Peter 2. We'll just see this from Scripture as well. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. It says, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps." Christ left an example for us that we should follow in his steps, and we would look at Christ's ministry and his life he served. He served, and as he said, you know, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So he served, and we're told to follow his steps and to serve also. Look at one more passage here, kind of have a few in succession, but John 13, notice this, verses 15 through 17. He says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you," Jesus Christ talking. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." So if we're following Christ's example and we're serving, then we're going to be happy. Of course, now the question would become, I suppose, well, how do we serve? We touched on it a little bit early on, but how do we serve? I mean, there are many ways that people make efforts to serve others. I mean, you can see there's volunteers that, you know, work at charities, or, you know, they donate money to various charities, and they try to make a difference. They try to help out. But is that what God has for us to do? Is that the way that we would go about serving? I mean, where do we put our effort to really serve and help as Christ wants us to? Another quote here, this is from Lesson 12 of the Correspondence Course. It says, "A deeply converted Christian will want to help teach this world and help others to share in the physical and spiritual blessings that result from living God's way of life. This is what the return of Christ and the establishment of his ruling government on earth is all about. All spirit-begotten Christians are now in training for an important role in helping to teach the world God's way. They are also learning to help administer the government of the wonderful world tomorrow for the good of all mankind." And that's talking about that time period after Jesus Christ returns to this earth. The Christian life, it says, then, is one of overcoming, growing, and preparing for service through rulership in the millennium, as well as serving others here and now. So we are to serve others and do so according to God's will. We have to serve now, and then, of course, as we do that, we're being trained to serve in God's kingdom. Notice this quote. This is from Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong and his book, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. And again, it's talking about that time period after Jesus Christ returns, that thousand-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ on this earth with his first fruits, his resurrected saints. And Mr. Armstrong writes, "Man wants desperately to save the society he has established upon this earth. But this society, this civilization, can't be saved. Man himself is bringing this world to destruction. God Almighty will soon step in and create a new, peaceful, and happy society, the world tomorrow." And so it's really important to understand that God wants all to be saved in due time, but this civilization of man under the influence of Satan, it will not be saved. It can't be saved because it needs to be changed. Jesus Christ needs to return. Now, again, don't misunderstand. People will have an opportunity to be saved. They will be offered salvation in due time. We're talking about this civilization, though, this society. It can't be saved. It has to be changed. There has to be a repentance, and Jesus Christ is going to step in with God's government and create a new, peaceful, and happy society. It's not going to be sort of a, say, saving of the current civilization because there's so many problems. And so sometimes people really try to help this society, this civilization, and want to improve it. But ultimately, God's government needs to be followed. God's truth needs to be taught. And then within that, of course, there's many ways to serve humanity by supporting God's work. And so, again, there are a lot of people in the world that are, you know, trying to be generous, and it's admirable. They have different programs, different charities, but they're focusing on the effects and not getting to the cause, not dealing with the cause. That's what has to be dealt with. You know, why do we have so many people that live below the poverty line? What's going to fix that? You know, why are the people that don't have enough to eat and are malnourished? And what will fix that? What causes it? And what fixes it? What about all the other issues you can think of? Well, what's the cause? Those things have to be addressed. And then we won't have those problems anymore. God's truth has to be taught and it has to be followed to solve these issues. Here's a quote again from Lesson 12 of the Correspondence Course. It says, "This life is the training ground. We learn to rule by performing our responsibilities faithfully and by learning to rule over ourselves as we live the Christian way of life." You know, it's a really good point. If we'd like to help society conquer some things and usher in God's society, well, can we conquer those things in our own lives today using God's word? We have to do that in the power of God's Spirit. It says, "Preparing to rule in God's kingdom begins with submission to his rule now. God will not save any person he does not govern." That's a very important point. God will not save any person he does not govern. A person might want to help other people, but if they're not willing to be governed by God, it will be of no avail. We have to learn God's laws. That's what this quote continues to say. So learn God's laws. Study them. Think about them. Live by them. And with the help of God's Holy Spirit, grow in the very character of God by overcoming your human nature, the temptations and sinful pulls of the world, and the wiles of Satan the devil. See, these are some of the practical things we need to be doing now. And it helps others as we learn about God's laws, as we study them, as we apply them, as we live by them. That helps everybody. It says, "Seek God by drawing closer to him in prayer and Bible study, and change, make change, grow spiritually. Continually build the character of God until death, or until the moment Jesus Christ returns and instantly changes our weak physical bodies into powerful, sinless, glorified spirit bodies." You can read about that in Philippians 3, verses 20 through 21. It says, "Then you will be ready to rule with Christ, to fulfill your awesome destiny of helping to rule the earth and the universe beyond as a member of the God family." It says it's a breathtaking, exciting, incredible calling, a glorious, wonderful future. Have you begun to qualify for it? So we have to ask ourselves about that. And again, we're thinking about our responsibility to God here. How do we serve God? Well, we love God, and then we have love towards fellow man. And of course, we love God more than ourselves, and the God family more than ourselves, and our neighbor as ourselves. But we're not trying to go out and, you know, save this civilization and keep it going. It's got so many problems. It needs to be changed, and Jesus Christ will have to do that. He'll have to make those changes, but we need to be preparing to help him make those changes and supporting God's work, which is teaching his message today. It's teaching why we have the problems, and it's showing the solutions to them. That's what we need to be doing and focusing on, and that's how we can serve. And then, of course, as we come into contact with people, then we should be a right example to them. Here's another quote from Lesson 12. It says, "God's people should be exhibiting the fruit or characteristics of God's Holy Spirit in their daily lives. They should be striving to be friendly, helpful, and kind toward their neighbor and those they come into contact with every day. People not yet called of God will be encouraged as they see the mind and character of God in action through the living example set by individual Christians." So as we come into contact with people, they should see that we're living a good way. We're living according to the law of God. Now, they may not know why or what exactly is happening there, but they should notice something positive. We're not going out there again trying to, you know, save the communities and all of that. God's going to have to really intervene to solve a lot of these major problems. But we support God's warning message, and that message of that soon coming wonderful world tomorrow, there's going to be a change, and we won't have the problems that we see in this society because the causes of them will be addressed. That's how we really help mankind today, by supporting his work and then by living by God's law in our own lives, setting a right example for those that we come into contact with. That's how we can really help and we can support God and his purpose and his plan. You know, people could dream up millions of ways that they think might be helpful, but only God can really show us how to help, how to serve, how to express service to God, how to help people. God has to direct that. And he does through his word. And Christ set us a wonderful example in it when you put all the passages together. And there's a lot more than what we looked at today, but you can see that certainly we need to be following God's will, just like Jesus Christ did. He said, I do only those things that my, you know, Father has told me to do. He did the will of his Father. He had his job and he did it. And he served God and served man the way God instructed him to do it. And we need to follow Christ's example and serve God and man also the way that God instructs us to do it. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. If you'd like to learn more about today's topic, you can sign up for the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. Today we talked a little bit about Lesson 12. There's a lot more in it. And also our free book at thetrumpet.com, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. That's a wonderful book and a very hope-filled book. Make sure that you get that and then study your Bible along with it. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Thank you for spending some of your time with me today. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.